Greetings, welcome to St. Dominic's Weekly, wonderful show for you on the Feast of the Holy Rosary. Father Isaiah and I talk about three reasons to rosary. Yes, I turned rosary into a verb there, that's just my one. So Father Isaiah kind of comes up with a little bit of a list, and I give my thoughts on exactly kind of insight into my own experience of praying the rosary, and we share just the power that the rosary has to transform our lives in so many ways. If you yourself have questions about how to pray the rosary or would like a set of rosary beads, which can bring us into the very tactile way of praying the rosary, St. Dominic's has rosaries for you and also little ways to pray the Dominican rosary. The Dominicans certainly have care and custody of this wonderful devotion, and the way we say it is just a little bit different from what you might be used to. So we have particular prayers that we pray, and so we've laid them all in just a wonderful little pamphlet that you can pick up in the back of the church, around the church, or even if you come to the office. So whether you're on the go or taking it slow, many, many blessings as you enjoy today's Rosary Show.
Greetings and welcome back to St. Dominic's Weekly. This is Father Isaiah. That's Father Michael. Happy Feast of Our Lady of Rosary today.
Yeah, Rosary Sunday is a celebration we have on an annual basis, most proximate to the 7th. This year, on Monday, this being Monday,
I know,
when we release it, it is the actual feast of the Our Lady of the Holy Rosary.
It's like a triduum. I mean, beginning Saturday night through today, I mean, a triduum of rosaries, right?
That's right. So you got the vigil, and you've got, of course, the Sunday celebrations, which you have to be in a Dominican parish to celebrate. Otherwise, just an ordinary Sunday, so to speak. And then Monday being the... Monday being the approximate, so we get 3 days of rosary, and that might be a good topic for us today, just the how to rosary well, or what, I'll put it this way, reasons to rosary.
Reasons to rosary. Typical English, where I'm making a verb out of a noun.
Exactly, reasons to, well, who was I talking with, and they were saying, you know, oftentimes the British, who after all invented the language, won't use the article, so I've gone to hospital. I'm off to hospital, right? So, they don't put the in front of anything. So,
why would you do that?
I don't know. It's like I used to say the BART, but then the same thing, the Bay Area Rapid Transit.
Yeah,
it's just BART.
BART.
Yeah, yeah. When, yeah. When it's just the proper nouns like that. Hmm. Anyway, rosary. Anyway. Rosaries.
How to rosary.
reasons to rosary. And so I thought we'd just give a few reasons. Why maybe three is a good number to
three
go
Three is a
with.
Good number.
Those are the traditional ways in which we celebrate the rosary. There's the three kind of sets of mysteries. We now have the luminous, but it's a nice little schema for
exactly.
Us
and it's, of course, on our side we have three chaplets on our side, so might as well go with the three, right?
The three reasons to rosary. So give me a reason to rosary.
A reason to rosary for myself is that, first of all, it's like the Mass, it's an incarnational type of prayer.
Oh, nice.
And what I mean by that is, like, as the Mass is, involves your entire mind, your spirit, your the fact that your body is in certain postures, so too with the rosary, that that you take this cord of beads and you allow it to slip through your fingers, so it's very a physical devotion, but actually you're engaging your mind because you're thinking about the mysteries of the rosary. And so it involves all the faculties of the human person as you're praying this devotion.
Nice. So when you're talking about incarnational, you're first of all meaning just the way you pray the rosary in terms of saying. Now, if you say the rosary kind of mentally, there's a certain thing. But if you're saying it kind of out loud, it adds another dimension too. Mm-hmm. Huh?
Yeah.
When you're praying it just kind of on your own solo, do you speak it out loud, or do you just kind of do it in your mind?
Admittedly, I mean, I've been doing it in my mind recently, and I think it was since when Father Basil was here, so around Independence Day, I've seen him, and maybe our parishioners see him too, that he would pray his rosary in the church, like going back within the ambulatory as you're going through the confessionals and all that stuff. So he would do like his 3 or 4 laps around the church.
Yeah, no, he's got a little preambulation that he got going there with his
as his you church. Do it for preaching, he does it for his rosary, so why not?
Exactly.
You know? So I was thinking too, so it's like, you know, it's like it was, for me, I started doing the same thing. Uh-huh. Part of way to honor him and his preaching and all that such, but for two, I mean, I just wanted to kind of rejigger or revamp my little devotion to the rosary. And like, okay, let's do a rosary walk along with it too.
Nice.
So I mean, for
so
me, it's
walking
become,
in the church. So what's your tell folks what your practice is?
Well, I mean, so basically, I would make it to the church about 5 minutes, like 5 till 7, I guess.
So about 20 minutes before prayer.
Mm-hmm, 20 minutes before our morning office. And I would just take my rosary out and I would just walk through the ambulatory, like around the down where the confessionals are and up to the where the statues of St. Dominic and St. Francis are, and making kind of a loop around just saying my rosary. You know, sometimes in a loud whisper, sometimes just in my mind, but either way, just allowing those beads to slip through my fingers. So
do you ever have folks kind of approach you? Because at that time, there's not usually a lot of people in the church.
Yeah, that's why I do it. So, and it's kind of funny because kind of from a communal point of view, there's always those three or four people that's always there after Mass and they have their seats and all that. And we, you know, do a quick wave and it's, you know, you see the 6:30 Mass kind of creeping
out. Is 6:30 Mass ever still going on when you get down there?
Inevitably, on when certain presiders are saying the Mass.
And when other
presiders are saying Mass, I mean, Mass ended like, you know, 20 minutes before that. So, you know, not to mention anybody.
So you have your preambulation. You know, for myself, I begin to do it, like you're saying, in terms of a walk, but I'll do it as I'm walking. I like to go up to Alta Plaza in the morning before prayer, just to kind of get out, just to kind of make sure just get some fresh air even before the day begins. Because as you know, once you kind of, you know, are in the priory and then in the office side, you know, you just, the day gets going and you have to be very intentional to kind of get out, get a breath of fresh air. So there's something about getting out in the first thing, even before prayer.
Yeah,
so
I like that.
So they can walk up there. And then what I'll do is I noticed that I began as I taken a walk, I would say it like internally, you know, so just like mentally, as you're saying.
Right.
But I thought, well, what could help me actually kind of say it out loud and not kind of look like I'm strange? And I thought, you know, so, and this is something that actually my brother introduced me to when he found a podcast called The 15-Minute Rosary. And so I'll put in, the thing about it is it has different like backgrounds, you know, you know, like rainfall or like, you know, the waterfall or the strangest one. I didn't really get it, but it was like plane ride or something. So it had like noises of like stewardesses serving things and like back chit chat. And I'm like, oh,
I'm not sure if that's really peaceful.
I'm not really like helping me in the rosary to feel like I'm on an airplane.
Yeah.
But there's all sorts of different, you know, kind of backgrounds. And then the narrator is kind of praying it, but then it encourages you to kind of say it out loud too. So you feel like you're not saying it just alone. So
yeah, that you have a rosary buddy.
Got a rosary buddy. Mm-hmm. Exactly. You got a virtual rosary buddy. Yeah. And you also know that given, if you begin to wander a little bit, that as can happen if you're not totally locked in, it keeps you locked into kind of the rhythm of it.
And
it really gives, and because there's a kind of oft times beautiful musical, lyrical kind of background to it, just audibly, it creates and can help to be catalytic towards the kind of the flow of prayer.
Right.
That really goes. You say incarnational, and I think certainly whenever our bodies are engaged at multiple levels, when there's several senses that are stimulated, it can take us into different places of contemplation, different places of kind of perspective, and I guess the inward now is mindfulness, right?
I mean, right. Mindful. Yeah.
But this is just connecting. It's connecting with our Lord, right? And certainly through the life of our Lord. And when you said incarnational too, I thought certainly not only the way that we actually pray the prayer in terms of using beads, in terms of saying prayers out loud, in terms of the flow of that, but also the content of the mysteries itself is all, it's really all about the incarnation
in terms
of its content, right? So you begin with the annunciation of what? The annunciation of the incarnation,
Of course.
And then everything else that flows from that is somehow in content, incarnational. So when you say incarnation, it's the human person fully engaged, fully come alive and in content, thinking deeply about who the incarnation is, who Christ is, and who we are called to be. So big incarnational in kind of every way you look at it, how you pray it, what you pray about, and if you will, the fruit of it, engaging our full humanity. So
Yeah, so that's a pretty good reason to rosary. It kind of activates the our incarnational, the mind-body kind of connection. I mean, you talk about lots of folks think, oh, you know, there's this kind of almost mythical kind of like, oh, in Eastern mysticism, there's this connection between mind and body. This is this goes way back to the roots of Western sorts of spirituality, very much so. And very much part of that sense of ritual incarnation is rooted in the West. Mm-hmm. Even more, even sometimes in the East, they negate the body. So the kind of Western Christianity and spiritualism, and coming right from Judaism itself, you know, and then the kind of Near Eastern, ancient Near Eastern, where is Judaism flows from, engages the body in
so many ways. If anything, embraces it.
Coming out of that sense of the sacrificial kinds of offering, the Ark of the Covenant, all the rituals that go along with the chosen people and that covenant that the Lord makes with them. So the rosary, part of that incarnational in that way. Good.
Yeah.
Give me another reason to rosary. Number two.
A second reason to rosary is the fact that the rosary is catechetical.
Oh, what do you mean by that?
And what I mean by that is that as we contemplate the 15 mysteries or the 20 mysteries, depending on how you look at it, you're being taught about the great story of Jesus, right?
That's
from there, you can spin off into thoughts about these major themes in our faith, about Christology, what is God, who is God, God's the very fact of God reaching out to us and our response to him and all that such. So I am very much so considering that ours is a major facet of our faith is based on the word and the word's incarnation, meditating on Jesus' story through the rosary that allows us to learn about him who knows everything about us.
Yeah, I know. That's, as you say, they talk about the greatest story ever told, of course, is the story of Christ. And this does that in a kind of contemplative, meditative way. And what was striking to me, or what kind of forms my own sense of our Dominican heritage, is the idea that St. Dominic himself used the rosary to preach.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we as a community read that book together,
Champions of the Rosary.
Yeah. So here's your book recommendation for the day. If you've never read the book called Champions of the Rosary, and it's written by Father Calloway, and find it on, you know, wherever you get your books online.
It's a great cover with a shield and all that such. So
No, it's very striking. It's got deep blues and stark whites, and it has a very champion, the champion motif is very, very strong. The rosary has that moniker of being, at least for the Dominicans, the kind of a sword, a kind of weapon, right? Mm-hmm. So we wear it on the left side.
Right, where the sword is, habit.
So it's kind of a spiritual weapon if we consider that our striving is not simply with flesh and blood, but as St. Paul says, principalities and powers. It's a kind of spiritual powerhouse, a spiritual weapon, a spiritual resource or strength for us. And Dominic's preaching wasn't. I had the sense certainly that story of Mary giving the rosary to Dominic, that Dominic would certainly pray the rosary and then he would preach. But as Father Calloway notes, that if you look at Alan de Roche and others who wrote another book review, the Secret of the Rosary, and Louis de Montfort's book on the rosary, and coming from his predecessor or his spiritual mentor, or preaching mentor anyway, Alan de Roche, talks about how Dominic didn't simply like pray the rosary and then preach. His preaching itself was informed by the mysteries of the rosary. So he wasn't like praying it and then preaching about something else. He was preaching on what he was praying about.
He would like pray the visitation, the mystery of visitation. He would preach about that.
Exactly. So in other words, he'd not only pray the Annunciation, but then that formed the heart of his preaching. Right. Yeah. So basically he was telling the greatest story ever told, seen from the very human eyes and maternal eyes of our Blessed Mother, which is how the lens of the rosary often connects to. And there's something about looking about the life of Christ as seen through his mother, which is so engaging, right? Tender and powerful in that way. When we, I mean, there's four gospel writers, so there's four different views of Christ. And if you kind of compile them together, especially seen from Our Lady, mm-hmm. like for example, in Luke, we have those right. those great Marian kind of insights.
Yes.
You get perspective into Christ that is unique and powerful.
Yeah.
And St. Dominic kind of tapped into that, mm-hmm. tapped into telling the story of Christ, of salvation, seen through the eyes of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And yep. those are the most important parts. So in terms of catechetical, it's a sense in which, you know, we think oftentimes that there's a certain genius or a certain ability that God gives parents, and in a very special way, both fathers, but also mothers, mm-hmm, to communicate mm-hmm. the faith. And we talk about the church as in feminine terms,
yeah,
right?
The Holy Mother Church.
Yeah, yeah. Holy Mother Church, mm-hmm. right? And yeah. so, and is Mary, in a sense, being the symbol of, or if you will, the great standard of the church,
yeah.
right? Mm-hmm. Kind of embodying that sense of that maternal aspect of the church. You can see the rosary as the church teaching her children,
yeah, mm-hmm.
like a mother teaching her children,
right.
educating, forming, encouraging, giving shape and life
right.
to, you know, mm-hmm. you know, mom, if mom teaches you something when you're young, it tends to stick in
yeah.
your heart, right?
You'll likely keep it, yeah.
exactly. So that the catechetical sense, from the sense of formation, is certainly true. And for Dominicans, we have that tradition of the rosary both informing our uh-huh. preaching, but also, as Pope Benedict liked to say, being not just informative, but performative.
Mm-hmm.
or
transformative too, right?
Mm-hmm. But he liked to make this distinction with the Bible that it just didn't inform us, but it was performative. Like it would mm-hmm. actually enact what it communicated.
Oh, yes.
If yeah. that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And that's part of being transformative. It
yeah.
moves you across. Mm-hmm. We're transformed to move you across or move you to a different kind of place. Mm-hmm. And so it brings us to a different relationship with the Lord. So catechetical, not just informationally, although that's
yeah.
usually what you mean,
yeah.
but also in terms of actually forming us, transforming
right.
us, of bringing us closer to God, because we have a unique insight or has fresh insight into that. And this is where I think any kind of help you can get, and this connects to the incarnational side, any
yeah.
kind of help you can get in terms of like saying a little scripture verse in between the Hail Marys,
uh-huh, uh-huh.
or having any kind of visual aids, or I mentioned the
audio
aids,
mm-hmm.
whatever we can do to engage our senses, but then to stimulate that sense of putting ourselves within the mystery and the contemplation of the scene. Some people say, right. how do I pray the rosary? Am I just thinking about the words of the Hail Mary? Well, sure, you can,
sure,
but you don't have to. I mean, honestly, sometimes when I'm praying the rosary, today we're recording this on a Friday, so we're doing the Sorrowful Mysteries
mm-hmm.
Today,
mm-hmm.
and you find yourself sometimes on a particular aspect of one of the mysteries that
yeah.
You're praying, and for me it was as I got to that third sorrowful mystery,
mm-hmm.
Thinking about the crowning of thorns, and I thought the other day I had a little bit of a headache and things
okay.
like that, and I was thinking, and all of a sudden I just thought, wow, Jesus didn't have aspirin. I don't know. This seems such a trite thing. It seems a little silly to say, but obviously he's sorry. But I just thought how my afternoon was kind of torpedoed by this headache that I usually don't take any aspirin or anything. So I was just like trying to like power it through. And I just, at some point I'm just like, okay, we had, you know, I had a couple of evening meetings. I was like, okay, I just got to take aspirin
yeah.
here and just take a deep breath.
Just get through. Yeah.
Yeah. Just get it through. And I thought, wow, when we're physically not at our best, we're oftentimes spiritually not at our best.
Right.
And it's kind of like we're not generous, we're not loving, we're not kind. We can be irritable and mm-hmm. mean as a snake, and
right.
and anxious and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, this is just, and so the rest of my mysteries were just kind of went along these lines where I began
right.
to think about
yeah.
how one of the great, how to put it, disciplines of Christ in that moment, or strength that he had, was to not let the physical suffering
mm-hmm.
get in the way of the spiritual generosity of his loving act.
Wow.
Right? So yeah. And I just got, I don't say stuck there, but that just, so then I kept
but
going.
But that's where you
so
stayed. Yeah.
I mean, stayed there. So I was just stayed particularly around the Crown of Thorns, and that's kind of where, and was that like, did I not, because I didn't like, even though I continued to think about, you know, or just, I continued to just say the words around carrying to the cross, crucifixion, you know, but I just, I was thinking about my own kind of limitations when it comes to, you know, when you're not feeling well, or you're kind of, you're not firing on all cylinders physically, it can be hard to give yourself emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually to a moment. And I thought, wow, that's really, that was such an act of strength for the Lord not to let the physical pain get in the way, or at least diminish the generosity of spirit and the act of love that he was all about. Anyway, so I give that as a sort of now long-winded example of you could get in a sense embedded in and contemplating on the first words of the angel, Hail Mary, and pray the rest of the mystery still contemplating that kind of greeting, what kind of greeting this might mean, as Mary herself says, and it's not, that and doesn't diminish fine. That's fine. Yeah. I know there's a particular way in which this goes to a little bit of the spirituality of the Society of Jesus, of the Jesuits, of of kind of doing the put yourself in the scene kind of thing. It's kind of that's kind of signature Jesuit sort of contemplative discipline from St. Ignatius. But I think it's certainly applicable to the Rosary, where you just kind of, you know, you can close your eyes or set yourself in the scene and just say, what would it have been like to kind of be there? Am I put myself in the place of Christ, or put myself in the place of Mary, or put myself in the place of the apostles, or even put myself in the place of those who are questioning Jesus or doubting Jesus?
Where kind of the centurion, whatever.
Exactly. Wherever we're at in life, we can embody one of the characters of a particular scene or mystery, and kind of let ourselves kind of explore, think about that.
Yeah, exactly.
It gives us perspective in that way. And all this to come back to say is, in some ways, catechetical. It forms us. It informs us so that it might transform us. So.
Yeah.
That was a good thought you had.
Thanks.
so last reason, or at least not last reason, but
the third reason
to rosary is
because she asked us to. Simply because she asked us to, right?
Oh, who?
Because the Blessed Mother asked us to pray the rosary. I mean,
oh,
we would have
I
mean, as in like I just the stories of Fatima and Lourdes and such, you would get over and over again where she would request, pray my rosary. And
what mama asks for, mama gets.
Yeah.
I like
it. I don't know about you, but I'm a mama's boy. So.
Yeah, there you go. When it comes to the rosary, that's a good boy. Mama gets.
I wish you were a lot more profound, but I guess that is profound. It's in no way.
No. That's true. There are some mothers who will say things like, this is the last thing I'll ever ask you to do for me. They might say something like that.
Today.
This is the only thing I'll ever ask of you. And you know it's not, but.
But still, yeah.
But when mama asks, it's hard to say no to mom in that way. And it's true. There's a theme that goes around the apparitions that the church has both recognized and even aspects of when Mary, herself in the Gospels, asks something of Jesus, right? I think of the wedding feast of Cana,
right, of course,
where she says, do whatever he tells you. And then, and yet, even though he says, you know, what is this between you and me about, you know, they have no more wine.
What does he do?
And what does he do? At the end of the day, I mean, there's certainly lots of both literal and spiritual ways of kind of interpreting that back and forth. Mm-hmm. But let's face it, at the end of the day, Jesus brings the he brings the goods.
He brings the wine. How many gallons of wine to that wedding feast?
Exactly. I mean, like, Mary says they have no more wine, and you know, stuff happens, and there's wine, and the person who's in a sense is the catalyst for that first great miracle, as we hear in the Gospel of John, is the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Exactly.
So if Mary is asking, she's not asking for herself, right? Mm-hmm. She never asks for herself. She asks for, in a sense, the good of others, right? And
exactly,
for the needful
of
the others. And so if she asks us to pray the rosary, she's asking not because she needs some kind of honor or aggrandizement, but it's good for us.
Right. Yeah. And we were just talking about this earlier when it came to catechetical. It's like this fostering of this devotion to the Blessed Mother. It's not for her good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's for, at the end of the story, it's for our good. Because if she is truly the model of of the Christian disciple, shouldn't we have her as a role model and imitate her and through her imitate Christ, right?
Yeah.
So it's for our own good.
No, it's true. And because sometimes, I'll just be very honest, when we certainly pray the rosary every day as our tradition. But there's times when I've got my normal routine, mm-hmm. but when I mm-hmm. get out of my routine, right? When I'm, you know, you're going visiting someone or it's holidays or something, you get out of your routine and be like, you get towards the end of the day, you're like, I haven't said my rosary yet. And you're like, well, you know, the day's kind of over. What would I just let, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world. I don't say it. And then, the thing that kind of came to mind, that's going to be kind of a strange analogy to make.
Okay.
But have you ever gone, like, for whatever reason?
Your mother calling you by your full name?
There you go. Michael Joseph Hurley. No, I was actually thinking of ablution practices of brushing your teeth.
Okay.
So I normally brush your teeth every after you eat, right? At least I'll just speak for myself. Certainly do that. And for whatever reason, if you don't do that, like, I don't know, when you wake up in the morning or you get that, exactly, you just kind of like, you got teeth that I've heard someone describe as sweater teeth.
Sweater teeth. Oh, that's hilarious. It's a very graphic, the very gentle way to put it. Yeah.
Like where you haven't brushed or you haven't flossed. Or to put it the other way, I went to the dentist the other day and they, they do the kind of the deep cleaning, and so forth. And no one's ever excited to go to the dentist, right? Well, maybe there are a few people who are like who are strange, but it's like in the moment you're like, okay, this is this takes discipline, this takes a little bit of kind of feeling the burn on your teeth or whatever. But then afterwards, you're like, your tongue's like, kind of like
feeling your teeth, like feeling those gaps, right?
Yeah, exactly, fresh and clean, and you're like ready to roll. And I have to say, the rosary, the experience of a habitual rosary, I don't know, it feels like that to me. Like if I don't do it one day for whatever reason, it feels
you're
like
feeling it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like I haven't had my time, because it once again it's not a lengthy time, but those 15 minutes or so, it's kind of like a little bit of a mental floss, right? A mental brushing, right? Where you're just kind of like, you're not just reactive to the day. And I usually do it in the morning, so maybe that's why it particularly feels like it's a kind of
like brushing your teeth.
Yeah, brushing your teeth and getting the day started off right with kind of like, okay, I got a good dental care and a fresh sense of the day. I mean, when you don't do that, it kind of things get gummed up, and they're not you feel like thrown off in that way. Mm-hmm. And so that idea of kind of mama knows best,
right?
In terms of the power of the rosary, it really does give a kind of clarity or perspective to the day. It's all of the benefits, and these are really the benefits of contemplative prayer, are I think found in that contemplative prayer of the rosary, where we just set aside some time. We say, we're going to, as I often say, it's literally 1% of the day. If you take 1,440 minutes in a day, and if more or less the rosary takes about 14 minutes, it's literally 1% of the day, right?
It's 1% of your day.
And mom knows that what 1% of the day that's intentional about thinking about how the great story of salvation wants to come alive and rejuvenate us.
Right.
Every time the sun comes up, every time we get out of bed and start a new day, we need to tap into that, or else we can get stuck in a rut. We can kind of get stuck just responding to things that happen and not be, in a sense, had the perspective which makes us proactive to anticipating where God is going to be, looking for the joys of the day, being able to grapple with the struggles, having perspective in the midst of sorrows or kind of, moments of even kind of being feeling blue or kind of depression or kind of feeling low. This is where the rosary gives us that sense of freshness every day of God's presence, abiding presence in our lives through that connection of the meditation on some aspect of that great story, the story of our salvation that is fresh and new and part of our everyday life.
So here's a question then.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we have this this spiritual flossing and all that such, but for many of me, our hearers or just our brothers and sisters in Christ in general, you know, there are moments in our lives where the rosary is just kind of dry and we just don't want to do it. And I mean, so what would you suggest of how to kind of rejigger, rejuvenate?
Yeah.
I don't know what the word is, but their devotion to the rosary. What
yeah. would you no. So when someone says, oh, I'm not really into the rosary.
Yeah.
I'll always ask, you know, what about the rosary is really mm-hmm. love? And sometimes it's like, well, it's too long. And so then I say, well, it is just 1% of the day. Mm-hmm. Right? So, and I think with any prayer, you have to give yourself a usual time, mm-hmm. a usual place or space. Uh-huh. And then it has to be not just inward looking, but it's got to be outward looking. Uh-huh. So what I mean by this is, so if I'll just give my example. So when my normal routine is to pray it in the morning, uh-huh. you know, either when I'm even taking a walk, or I'll do it in our little chapel, or mm-hmm. just someplace before we come to prayer.
Yeah.
So that's kind of so in the priory, around the grounds, taking a walk is kind of the time being for me more important than the actual place. I can vary that, uh-huh. either playing it on, like I said, on the podcast, yeah. or doing it, you know, having the beads. But then that third aspect, not just time, routine time and place, but also having an intention.
Hmm.
Yeah. In other words, so what I won't do for myself,
right.
I'll do for other
people.
I tend to be, just in terms of personality, I think, I don't know if it's for most people or maybe for guys in particular, like it's like, I don't really need it myself. But if someone else is really struggling, you know, or needs intentional prayers, now I'm like, okay, I've got to, if I won't do it for myself, I'm doing it for someone else, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And so you get the people that you're praying for. Certainly there's mm-hmm. a way in which I offer it for the parish and for all those right. who need us. I have a more general, you know, kind of intention that goes for any time I pray the rosary. But I always like, just like at Mass, as priest, there is a singular, unique Mass right. offering that's made. It doesn't mean that you can't pray for lots of other things too, but there's that one kind of intentional
right.
Mass offering that we pray. I tend to also, by analogy, do that for my rosary too.
Mm.
And so when someone's like, well, I'm not really engaged in the rosary, I say, well, you know, it's literally changed the world several times over. The Battle of Lepanto, look that up if you don't know that story. That's where the Feast of Holy Rosary comes mm-hmm. from, when the Pope asked all of Christendom to pray, or else basically Western civilization was going to be up on the ropes, mm-hmm. and the Turks were turned back. You look at Our Lady of Fatima, pray the rosary, mm-hmm. right? You look at aspects of
John Paul II
with the rosaries mm-hmm. in the Cold War, and all the ways in which we, you know, only know now that nuclear war was averted, and as we open up, you know, files of the Cold War kind of thing. So there's no doubt that the power of the rosary connected en masse has literally changed the outcome of the world. And what's true for changing the world is true in our own little microcosm lives ourselves, right? So if it can change the world, it can certainly change our perspective, right. our lives and influence. So why not activate that,
right?
And in doing that for particular people, particular situations, I think really can give us, let's put it this way, an incentive, a sense of like, okay, even if it takes a little bit of discipline and I'm not familiar with it, it's tried and true. So many saints have found fruitfulness from it. Saint Dominic himself made it the cornerstone prayer of his ministry, that mm-hmm. that has been one of the most fruitful religious explosions in all of the world, so to speak.
Really.
You know, I mean, the order of preachers basically going from a little, you know, local French mission to being not just a little local revival to being an international world.
Yeah, that we're talking about
800 years later. You and I are both a part of, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What started there is now, you know, basically we've given our life to do, right?
Yeah.
So it's still affecting people. And even now, we're the Dominican Order. Is one of the largest growing religious orders in the world, period. Right. 800 years later, right?
Yeah.
And it's founded on that, in a sense, in a kind of a spirituality on the rosary. So here's the thing, it works. If you have any doubts, I can guarantee you it works, because
There's
historical proof. There's undoubted, whether you believe it or not, it works. So if it works, and know it works, the question is, not, you know, should I give myself to it, but how can I best incentivize myself to connect? So time, place, and get outside yourself. Prayer is not just about you. Mm-hmm. This is where that mindfulness prayer as simply nothing but mindfulness, mm-hmm. it can become almost egotistical because right. it's all about myself and what I'm doing. And certainly there's a benefit, certainly a personal benefit of prayer. But the point of prayer is to get outside of ourselves. Right. Mm-hmm. We're not the center of the universe, right? Yeah. So put ourselves in the connection with the will of God, who is, in a sense, mm-hmm. in control of the world. Yeah. We're not in control. And so it's much of prayer is letting go of and interceding for right. others, not focus navel gazing on our own issues and problems and stuff, because that can be a little bit of a trap in and of itself. And so, as you say, why does Mama ask us to do it? Yeah. For our good and for the good of the world, and the good of both the world, you know, globally, but also for, if you will, our world, the local world of, you know, our Dominican Priory here,
yeah, exactly.
our parish here, our province here, yeah. Our families, all those who, you know, find connection, spiritual connection exactly. Through St. Dominic's here. So if you're struggling with it, the last thing to say is sometimes, like just like in preaching, I often say sometimes you have yeah. something to say, sometimes you have to say something.
Yeah.
There is an aspect of prayer where sometimes you're not feeling it. Sometimes it is feeling routine. You don't feel a high. It doesn't look like your prayers are being answered. And prayer comes down to that sense of faithfulness, yeah. right? It doesn't mm-hmm. have to sometimes it's, you have a yeah. real fantastic kind of thing. It's like when you work out, like
right.
what do they say? Every third workout is really good. And the rest are kind of just like
yeah, exactly,
going
yeah.
through the motions of just, you know, climbing the stairs or, you know, running on the treadmill or lifting mm-hmm. weights. It's always just kind of like, you gotta get a yeah. sense in which you kind of do it. And then you'll have those days where you're just like, oh, I'm on fire.
What?
Like I'm really on fire. And there's other days where I'm just like, ah, oh, such
why
a
am
slug.
I here?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so
it's
a slug. So what's true of the physical world is also true of the spiritual world.
Right.
So how to sum all that up for that long? Once again, I find myself in a longish answer to a pretty straightforward question. But I would say, first of all, establish the routine of
right.
time, place, and intercession, doing it for someone else or having an intention. So time, place, and intention are
right.
key. And then not to be daunted by a sense of the drudgery or the routine,
the dryness,
the dryness
yeah.
of the routine. It's like,
yeah.
don't be worried. That happens to everyone. That's
yeah.
part of life. And to know the power the rosary has, because we're uniting our will, or I'll put it, our will is being united to coming
yeah.
kind of into course correction
right.
with what we pray for and what we actually ask for in the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah.
Thy kingdom come, thy will
right.
be done. And so if something's difficult or hard, well, maybe that's not the worst thing in the world, because it is part of that spiritual discipline which helps to move us even a little bit, helps us move an inch closer to God's will and not our will.
Yeah.
That
might be a good thing.
It means we're getting,
yeah.
it means another day, another little inch towards the holiness God has called us to. And then makes the day worthwhile.
Yeah. So happy feast of the Holy Rosary, Father Michael.
Yep.
And if any of you wouldn't want to help out the podcast, you know what to do.
Good.
Share us on Facebook, post us on Facebook, share with others, subscribe and tell others to do the same.
So as we certainly celebrate this feast of the Rosary, may the Rosary truly be fruitful in your life. May you, if it's been a while, may you re-engage with it. We have rosaries here. You can come by the office and pick them up for how to pray the rosaries, pamphlets in the church, that we might truly radiate the joy of the gospel here in the heart of the city. Amen.
Amen.